The referees at the Premier League, Football League are addressing these situations. They have been for years, but some of our referees down at grassroots level need to introduce that into their game to help prevent things from happening.
This is Referees World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
Hello again and welcome to the Referees World podcast, which offers education and training for referees of all levels. My name's Darren Cullum. I'm affiliated with Somerset FA. And my colleague is Richard Mellon, who is the Technical Director Referees at UAEFA, based in Dubai. And I'm delighted to know about your brand new sport of camel racing. That video you sent me the other day really made my day. Brilliant. Camel racing.
Amazing. Amazing. So entertaining to watch. But camel racing, yeah, they were up for it. And, you know, all of a sudden, the camel in fourth place, you know, galloping away, all of a sudden overtakes the favourite and things like that. And that quite often happens.
I love the fact that they don't have jockeys on board. They actually strap on like a doll because it's too much for the camels.
Yeah, it was regarded as dangerous to have a real sort of Frankie Dettori. That was too dangerous. So they done away with the idea of jockeys on camels, they strap a little dolly on the back of the camel's backside near just behind the hump.
Anyway, we're not here to talk about camel racing. We are here to hopefully make you, the listener, a better referee and hopefully learn from the bits that we talk about. I'm still an active referee. If it's your first time listening to the Referees World podcast, Richard is just not fit enough to do it these days. So he sits and pulls all the strings in the background. So what we're going to talk about today, and we'll go into in a bit more detail in just a moment, is your presence on the field of play. We'll go into that and what that actually means in just a sec. We've got a few people we need to mention first of all, though, haven't we?
Yeah, we have. We've had quite a bit of contact in the last 10 days. Just before the last podcast we recorded, it sort of started picking up, and we've had quite a bit through the last few days as well. Where to start is the situation. But I'll start with the serious side of things, because he's not been well. And that's Rob McDonald, our close friend there in Taunton. He was admitted as an emergency into Musgrove Park Hospital, suffering with sepsis, and so consequently he's been very uncomfortable for over a week there now. But he is coming through the other side. So best wishes to Rob and a speedy recovery. But take your time, Rob. These things are not a 5-minute overnight illness. It takes a few days, few weeks, maybe even a couple of months to recover from it. So the advice from the old nagging mentor that I'm here is take your time, please.
Yes. So I did see Rob on Tuesday night. He looked a bit peaky, but like I said, he's fighting fit and heading in the right direction, which is the main thing. Let's move on to an email we had from a new referee who's just found the podcast. And we'd like to say welcome to Brett Mason.
Yeah. Hi, Brett. Really interesting to engage with Brett. He's ex-player coming on board to referee, or crossing the line. He's coming over to the darker side, as some people like to say. But let me say to you, after playing, if playing has got sort of, can I say boring? That's probably not the best word. But
too much for the body to handle.
You fell out of love with playing. And you wanted a new challenge. And if I look back on my career, that's how it happened for me all those years ago.
No, it wasn't. Rich, you were just a crap playing footballer, let's be honest about it.
Well, that's true. But then some will say I never improved as a referee either. So, but it is what it is. And we fall out of love of playing in some cases. And maybe this is what Brett's background is. And he's come into refereeing. He talks about still taking up players' positions. Not the worst thing in the world. That is showing a football understanding of, you know, knows where to be, but knows where he doesn't want to be as well. Mm. So that he will sort that out in time. And it will make, let's say, 10 games, maybe 20 games. You know, sometimes I still remember those days of taking the position, where you expect the ball to drop. And as a referee, you understand the drop-in zone and you adjust your position to make sure you're in that place. And then, of course, all of a sudden it drops into the drop-in zone. And if you've got a mate that you want to look after, you say, you stick by me during the game and I'll make sure that you're not going to be far away from the drop-in zone. What? you know, and they ask you, what do you mean by the drop-in zone and where you are? Because drop-in zone for a player and a referee should sync together. But sometimes as a new referee, it doesn't happen. So you've got to work out how to get there, and why you need to be in that position is obvious. You know, you want to make accurate decisions of foul or no foul, handball or not handball, and things like that. So, you know, Brett had
a goal line incident, wasn't it? Ball hit the crossbar, but then bounced back in over the line. Now, here's the point I was going to make. On the level of games that he was playing on, I presume he had club linos, club assistants.
And yes, he did.
He checked with the club assistant who gave the award for the goal. So my response to his email was, oh, I'm sure Rich will have a few things to say about that, because on a big decision like that, to have a club lino award the goal is quite a big shout.
Yeah, there's a few ways in which you can look at this. All I want to say is this is not a criticism of any sort of any referee. But Brett has brought up the incident. The ball's hit the crossbar, gone down, hit the ground behind the line. It's over the line. The club assistant referee, if you've got the home club with the home assistant referee on that defence, then you can genuinely say, I don't think he's doing any disservice. You know, if it were the ball hitting the crossbar going down on the line, claims of over or not over, and the club assistant referee is the opposition's assistant referee, then there would be questions that could be asked. You're not saying that the assistant referee is doing a disservice, but the credibility of it all, in this case with Brett, it sounds that it's absolutely spot on. Mm. And do you need to go over there and talk to an assistant referee? Only if you believe that it would help the game. That's, you know, he talks about conferring with the assistant referee. I think you've had this recently, Darren, where you accepted a club assistant referee's decision, didn't you? A few months back now.
Yeah, that was the sending off with the goalkeeper. Do you remember that situation? The goalkeeper,
yes.
Which we are going to have a conversation with at some point. With Paul, that's it.
Paul Faulkner,
that's it. Cool, your memory's good, yeah. Mate. Yeah, so...
So there are times when you talk to a club assistant referee. There are probably more times you might talk to a club assistant referee than what you would a neutral assistant referee. And that's, of course, with a neutral assistant referee, there are things going on behind your back. And if there are things going on behind your back, it's something that you need to adjust with your position, change your body shape, and not close off the game as much as what you might be doing. So if you got to... what is it? It's juggling a couple of footballs in the air, like, you know, making a decision of, does the game benefit from me talking to the assistant referee?
Yeah.
And if you think it will benefit the game, do it.
So let's crack on with what we were going to talk about. And what you've just said about changing your body position and your body shape to decide upon a big decision brings us nicely on to what we are going to talk about in this episode, and that is your presence on the field of play as a referee. Now, for somebody who's new to refereeing, just explain what you mean by that, Rich.
Presence on the field of play, it's not a natural thing in many, many cases. And some of us are born chatterboxes, and some of us take that habit of a lifetime out onto the field of play when we become a referee. So you can engage with players, but the whole conversation about presence involves communication as well. Your body communicates decisions, verbally you communicate decisions, and, you know, signals, you know, all that sort of thing, all about presence. How do you use your presence, and why would you use your presence? For me, let me say to you, let's talk about a game of football that has 40 fouls, and is that average? Not in my opinion. 40 fouls in a free kick. Think about that, though. How many minutes in a game? Come on, everybody knows that. 90.
90, yep.
90 minutes. 40 fouls in 90 minutes? How much football are we actually playing?
So there's, you know? It sounds like there's potentially a game management issue going on here with a game such as that.
Absolutely spot on, Dad. That's exactly where I'm going to go with this, if we can. The word I want to introduce to a lot of our referees and encourage other referees to continue with it and increase it is to be proactive. Be proactive in your management of the game. See if you can prevent things from happening that are wrong. Fouls, free kicks, handball. You know, keep your arms down. Don't foul, lad. Stand up. When do we talk about the situations with the players? There's no point in, let's talk about a corner kick situation as an example. As the ball is about to be kicked from the corner kick, in swing out or out swing out, whichever side, right or left, you've got to do it before the ball is in flight. If you don't do it before the ball is in flight, once the ball has been kicked, you become white noise. So you've got to think about how you proactively manage a situation. Corner kicks are probably one of the most common situations that you see referees doing week in, week out, from top to bottom of the ladder of Premier League all the way down to grassroots. The referees at the Premier League, Football League, are addressing these situations. They have been for years, but some of our referees down at grassroots level need to introduce that into their game to help prevent things from happening. If you're actively managing the players and they start listening to you, you're not coaching. I don't care what people say about you can't coach my players. You're not coaching. You're managing the game. That's what your wording would be to anybody who wants to come at you as regards stop coaching my players. I'm not coaching. I'm looking after the game. Image of the game is important. How many games do you want to have with 40 free kicks every week? That would be awful, awful for the game. So management of the game, how do you do it? When do you do it? You've got some experience with this, Dad, because this is one of your strong features. One of your attributes is that you engage with people. It's not natural when you take up refereeing, perhaps, but in your case, you're a radio manager. Mm. You know, let's talk about your attributes as regards how you got into it. And that's when we first met, wasn't it?
Yeah, so my background, as we've already discussed before on the podcast, is radio, which is kind of how we got into doing the podcast in the first place because of my background. And I am faced with, on a regular basis, dealing with people face to face in nightclub situations, dealing with that as a DJ and dealing one to one. And I think that does bring you and give you an air of confidence to a certain degree. And it's helped me manage how I deal with people on the field of play as well. I've taken that with me, and using that ability to be able to talk to people as opposed to being quite sort of reserved, I think has certainly helped me with my game. There are other areas that I could definitely improve on, but that side of things, like you said, is actually one of my stronger points. So, yeah, I mean, the thing is, it's not one of those things that everybody is blessed. I don't know if blessed with is the right phrase to use, but it's not a gift that everybody has.
Exactly. You know, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Do you know what I mean?
There are things that we have to train for, you know, and we have to learn. We have to become educated about it.
But what I will say to anybody that is a new referee or somebody that is thinking about whether they should take up the course, it's fantastic for character building. It's great for building your self-confidence as well. And I know that becoming a referee has helped improve my skills that I thought I already had.
Yeah.
In terms of communication and managing situations.
But let me say to you, presence on the field of play also becomes part of your presence off the field of play. Mm. So life situations come onto the field of play. Field of play situations get acted out in conversations off the field of play. So all those exchanges, those ideas, those thoughts, those pieces of mentoring are valuable little bits and pieces for progress. And I clearly remember, and this is not about my career, but I clearly remember when I understood what the game wanted. Although I had a football understanding because I was an ex-player and I took some of my, what can one say, my competitiveness into refereeing, I understood that you know, to engage with the players was what a referee that I respected would needed to do. And I remember referees who have, you know, actually I became colleagues with Mike Hill for particular in the Bridgewater area, Harry Ives, another referee, Jim McGuckin, Malcolm Rich, I'm just thinking the names off the top of my head now. We all engaged with each other. We all shared ideas. We all had presence, and we created it through discussing situations and taking onto the field of play about how are you going to deal with this? And, you know, I talk about visualizing your Saturday games, your Saturday incidents. Visualize it during the week before. Practice what you're going to say to the players, you know, and simple situations like that. Being proactive, preventative, body shape, body language, posture, gestures, communication, decision making, signals, all these things impact on presence. And if you are one of those referees that stands in the center circle, given a direction to the left, a direction to the right with your arms and signals and that, and don't move, you're not going to be very successful, I'm afraid. The game expects you to be mobile around the field of play. And if you don't use your physical presence to support decisions and deter players from chatting back at you, and you stand there and just allow it to happen, you're not going to have particularly successful match control and bring the game to a safe conclusion. So it's engaging with people. That's how I look at it. Using your presence in different particular styles. And we all have a different style, but ultimately those things that I've listed as the attributes of mobility, posture, body language, communication, they're all attributes that we all need to have to progress. And like I say, highlighted you've done it, you're progressing. Rob McDonald, he's learned a little bit, and I keep using Rob McDonald. Brian Lee's a natural chatterbox because he works in sales. You know, that helps his football job and his personal job off the pitch. Some of us don't work in those environments. Some of us work in a shop. Some of us work in a factory. Some of us are brickies. Some of us are postmen. You know, certain things help, you know, you know, it's transferring those skills backwards and forwards on and off the field of play that create a presence.
What three quick tips of advice would you give to somebody who perhaps doesn't have that natural ability to project themselves in some kind of arena such as football?
Top three tips for me would be to find a mentor. If you cannot find a mentor that will give you the time that you want, study a style of referee and get the opportunity to go looking for the traits of presence on the field of play. You don't have to watch the Premier League all the time, but that's something that you'll learn as a physical presence and mobility around the field of play. Football League and coming down the ladder, coming down the, football pyramid. You'll see referees with attributes that they're learning, they're pushing on with it, and they're progressing. So, you know, it's find a mentor, look for a mentor, or study someone, study a few referees as regards how they get there. That's what I did. And if I say to you, one of the things that I've done, and I know a lot of referees did or still do, is they look at a referee and say, yes, I like that. I could use that. I would do that. Others you look at and say, no, that's not for me. I couldn't do that. Some of us are comics. Some of us are not comics on the field of play. Don't try to be a comedian. If you're not a quick one-liner, do not entertain the idea of trying to be giving one-liners to players, because if players don't like that idea, they'll soon tell you, and they won't be very polite on occasions when they do that. So, you know, presence, have good signals, sharp signals. That would be another tip. Communicate. That's the third and probably as important as all the others when you're out there. Communication is a big thing. Signals are a big thing. Hesitation is something that players pick up on. Spectators will pick up on it. So try to have confidence about what you do and think about what you do days before the game, before you actually get to the game. So, if you practice trying to be a good referee on match day, that's probably the wrong time to do it.
Can I just say, talking about physical presence and how you manoeuvre yourself around the field of play, I was on a game on Tuesday night just gone, just to give you a bit of sense of day again. It's Friday afternoon. My lunch is cooking. I've got some belly pork in the oven, so I'm going to have to wrap this one up in just a moment. And on Tuesday night, I was at a local game with a young referee, a very good referee called George Gross, who I know you know. George was just outstanding on Tuesday night. He really was. He got 73.5, I think, by your friend observer, Dave Brammer. And he just nailed every position and his presence. One of the things that I picked up on from George, and he's only 21, 22. He's a lot younger than I am. But one of the things that I picked up on his performance the other night was his stature, his presence around the pitch, and the sharpness of his tone on the whistle and his decision making was just outstanding. A well-deserved 73.5.
Yeah, a couple of things. I mean, I knew George in his very, very early days when his dad introduced him to me, and he was about 15, 16, I think it was at the time. And I saw there was a potential talent there. And so done a little bit of coaching with him and got to know him quite well, went to watch games. And then when other people got to hear about his potential to progress, then the core group, the FA Court group in Somerset took him on board and they've pushed him through there. So that was about 3 or 4 years ago. But I'm not surprised to hear that George is progressing, and good luck to the lad. There was a couple other lads, Brian's boy.
Jordan
was there at the same time. So, you know, we all progress at different times. We don't all progress at the same time together. And that is just how we learn. And like I say, the subject of presence will be forever, you know, pretty well the same about signals, communication, and engagement. You know, it's proactively becoming a good referee through it.
So there you go. Hopefully you've learned a little bit of something about having presence on the field of play. And of course, as we've already said, if you do struggle with this kind of thing and you'd like us to talk about it in a bit more detail, or perhaps open up the can of worms even further than we have done on this particular episode of the Referees World podcast, by all means, we'd love to hear from you. It's great that you do get in touch. We've got listeners all over the world at the moment, and people are dipping in to find out a bit more about us. Find us online and you can listen via the website, which is refereesworld.co.uk. Or search us out on your podcast provider. We release a new episode every Friday at 5 o'clock, and we'll see you next time.
This is Referees World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.